for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, May the 29th, 1988. The Garland Pemberton is the speaker of the evening.
But we have known for a number of years, like our Sister Willie. I just said to Brother Miller, I think the first time I saw him, it's time, way of reminiscing, Sister Olson, I believe it was back in 1949. Well, that was before a number of you discovered America. And a wonderful time, and I concur with what Brother Glenn said. You don't live in the glory of the past, but it's wonderful to reflect on the glory. The Bible teaches that. The Bible says in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, for instance, call to remembrance the former days. When after you were illuminating, I'm quoting the Bible now, when after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction. And here is the affliction. Partly while you were made a gazing stock, and partly in reproaches, and ye became companions with those that are so used. So those are good days, wonderful days. We were just up in Washington for Jesus just a few days ago. Hope some of you were there. It was a great sight. And we were there both in 1980 as well as this time. I was the state coordinator for Washington for Jesus for the state of Mississippi, Brother Glenn, and took about 600 people with us to Washington from Mississippi. And made them renewed some acquaintances, like some of you, like you. How many hear Chaplain Ray? Do you hear Chaplain Ray down here, the prisoner, the minister in the prisons? Well, some time ago, a few years ago, I called his home there in Dallas. And I said, may I speak to Brother Raymond Huckster? And she said, well, are you referring to Chaplain Ray? I said, perhaps to you it's Chaplain Ray, but it's Raymond Huckster to me. And we renewed and sat around the table with Brother E.V. Hill, one of the greatest preachers of all time, and Raymond Huckster another. And we sat around the table the other night, and there in Chicago with a number of other ministers that's known something about the moving of God down through the years. And I was refreshed and renewed. I guess that's part of the compensation of getting a few years on you. Honey and I only have four children. You'll be delighted to know, and I know that you'll rejoice that we have 11 grandchildren. I'm on my way, honey. Great grandchildren's coming. I was in the platform of a big church here some time ago, and the man said, and I agreed in his theology, he said, God don't have any grandchildren. And I said, poor God, he don't know what he's missing. Amen. They're grandchildren. And our youngest one, in fact, our youngest one is just, he's 7 years old now, but he's going on 16. He knows everything that's going on. And he has my name, Garland. My oldest grandson's 26. He's 26? Honey, straightens me out. That's honey back there. It's 25. But he has my name, Garland, and our youngest grandson has my name, Garland. In fact, over the land right now, we've got Brother Glenn. I'm glad we've come in on it. I was trying to count the other day. I don't know how many people across the land has asked to use my name, and I'm flattered about that. But little Garland, he knows everything. We try to pump Jesus in him, and really I can tell you if he's achieved what you'd think I was bragging, but I can tell you it. But I was talking to him here sometime. We've got the stories of the Bible, and he's a great fisherman. I love to fish too, but he's going to be a crackerjack. And I talk to him all the time about Jesus. And I talk to him about, he's going through that stage of every little boy that he wants to see how powerful Jesus is. And I said to him here some time ago, I said, I'll tell you, Garland, I said Jesus is stronger than anybody. He said, leave me. I said, he's greater than the Incredible Hulk. He said, that's right. I said, he's greater than the Spider-Man. I said, in fact, Jesus could pick this building up with one hand. And I got his eyes on him still, and then I lay my hands on him and say, Jesus, make yourself strong and call it. I talked to him about the Bible, and I was talking to him about Noah, a good man, and he lived for God, and God spoke to him and communicated to him, Noah, what he was about to do, and he destroyed the entire world with water simply because they sinned against God. And you go to my family end of them, and anybody starts talking, they talk to me about the builder, because I guess I've been doing that all my life. That's what I appreciate you're doing here. As I told you the other night, I cut my 1 year old in the Lord. That was my 1 year in the Lord. I had built, and that was the dedication of the first church we ever built. We've done that 13 times. Now we're starting the 14th, but thank God, I'm not so superstitious, but I'm glad we're getting away from 13. But he talked about builder, and I talked about how that Noah built that ark, and he looked at me after so long of a time, and he said, Papa, did you help him build that ark? And I said, oh, no. He said, well, you did ride on it, did you? But he's got his stories right anyhow. So you are to rejoice in the things of God, and I'm glad for what God's doing here. I'm going to kind of be an ambassador for you, amen, or for what the Lord is doing. In fact, this is the truth, amen. Thank you.
Got to have that.
Hallelujah. Get the word. I thought that I wasn't coming through. I never bother about these homemade ones. I mean, then if it goes down, I just turn up the built-in one I've got. But we will be rejoicing with you, and you'll pray for us. Honey and I'll leave early in the morning. We have to get to New Orleans tomorrow, and then I have to fly out of Mobile, Alabama, going to Greensboro, North Carolina, and then back in a couple of days from now, be there through this coming Sunday, and then back, and great convention down in New Orleans, and just over the land. God has poured out His Spirit everywhere. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And God Almighty, and thank you for those songs. Thank you for those songs tonight. I love the new songs, but the Bible says in Ephesians 5:18. Everybody say Ephesians 5:18. Now this is the twofold command. How many believe that we ought to keep all the commandments of God? Amen. Now here's a twofold command. It's commandments. Incidentally, somebody said those are 10 you read about are not 10 suggestions. Those are 10 commandments. Amen. And here's two commandments that Paul gives to the church. At Ephesus, at all of us, he said these words, be not drunken on wine. That's wrong to get drunk on wine. Wherein is excess? How many know that that's a commandment? God said, don't do that. In fact, the 20th chapter of Proverbs said, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now, you're not going to go to heaven simply because you quit drinking wine. You can quit smoking cigarettes and still miss heaven. You say, well, I don't smoke. Well, a fence post doesn't either, but it doesn't do anything else. Amen. It's not what you do as much as what you fail to do. But wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. And Paul said, be not drunken on wine, wherein is excess. But here's the second part of that verse. It's justice. Potent, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Amen? Now that's a command. I say that's a command. Amen. It is said about D.L. Moody, after Moody was gloriously filled with the Holy Ghost. And for your information, Moody was full of the Holy Ghost. He got gloriously filled with the Spirit. If you read the experiences, and it's many in many editions. It used to be more popular to read than it is now. Moody had that glorious experience that he said it was liquid love and liquid power poured over him. And he jumped up and ran out in the streets of Chicago saying, grace, grace, grace. Has anybody seen grace? And they said, grace who? He said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Amen. From that time that he was filled with the Spirit, it is said authentically that Moody never, never closed the sermon, but what he didn't close it with these words, be filled with the Spirit. He always said that. Be filled with the Spirit. Somebody said one time, Brother Moody, why do you say that? Why do you tell everybody to be filled with the Spirit? He said, because we've got tendencies to leak. How many know you have a tendency to leak? It's wonderful to be filled with the Holy Ghost 15 years ago, but I'm asking about how about your temperature tonight? Come on now.
Amen.
Amen. Be filled is present tense. And here is the results. I heard it tonight. Speaking to yourself. Look at the 19th verse. Speaking to yourself. Speaking to yourself. Speaking to yourself. It's all right to talk to yourself if you're full of the Holy Ghost. Of course, if you begin to answer yourself back, you better have something done. But it's marvelous to talk to yourself. Amen? I preach to myself some of the best sermons I ever heard in my life. I preach to myself riding down the highway. Amen? Speaking to yourself. How am I going to speak to myself? Here it is. In psalm. In hymns. Some of these songs you sung tonight, and thank God for all the new songs. You wouldn't believe it. I don't know one note from another. I will sing by letter. I just open my mouth and let it fly. But believe it or not, I've written a dozen songs. They've been sung all over the world. God gave us a song, sing, O barren, sing, you that did not bear. You shall have a song, all men everywhere. The river of God, hallelujah, is come to stay. So sing, O barren, sing, this is God's new day. God gave songs like that all over. I love the new songs, but don't get away from some of the old songs.
Right.
Come on, say amen now. They anchor you. I say they anchor you. Yeah. It was wonderful for John Wesley to preach, but John Wesley had a brother that sung heaven in people's hearts, and his name was Charles Wesley. It was wonderful, wonderful to have D.L. Moody to preach the gospel, but he had an hour of thank you along with him when the world was at each other's throat, and they went across this land singing, what a friend we have in Jesus.
Yeah.
Billy Sunday was one of the greatest preachers at all times for years, and I'm dating myself now. We had Harry Clark as our song leader, and Harry Clark was Billy Sunday's song leader. I used to sit at night after those great meetings, camp meetings, and he'd tell us about some of the songs. For instance, Into My Heart, Into My Heart. Harry Clark wrote that. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. God gave Harry Clark that when he was what they call at the Mourner's Beach one night trying to pray a drunk through his salvation. Said he couldn't get him around, over, through it. Finally, out of desperation, after an hour, he said he just said in his heart, believe it and say these words, into my heart, into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in today. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. The man did, got gloriously saved. And Harry Clark rolled from his feet and wrote that song that's blessed the world. God gives us songs. Say amen.
Amen.
Speak to yourselves in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. Hallelujah. You can have a revival when there's nobody around. Of course, it's wonderful to have people participate with you. But it's marvelous when you can speak to yourself. Be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. And it's glorious. I got the baptism, and I'm going to get to the Word now. I got the baptism, I told some people today, when it wasn't popular. That's right. Thank God for it. I'm not griping at all about what's happening. I see, so help me God, right now. The last 4 years, last year alone, I fulfilled 39 different pulpits across this land. Some of the biggest churches in the world, some of the smallest churches. And I see a hunger, and God's baptizing more people a lot of times in meetings. One meeting that we used to see many times. Thank God for what's happening.
Amen.
He's pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. The old men will dream dreams. The young men will see visions. But not every place, even now, gets what they're getting here at the campground. Remember, there wasn't one woman went to a place like this and got gloriously filled with the Holy Ghost. After the camp meeting was over, she went back to her church. It was the first church of the Frigid there. She went in and took her place on that Sunday morning. She knew what to expect, and the preacher got to preaching. He hit a real good note, and she said, amen. I mean, out loud, where everybody could hear. But everybody's eyes was upon her. She said within herself, well, I'll not do that anymore. But the preacher preached on another 3 or 4 minutes and hit another good note. She said, hallelujah! And all at once, the ushers went over and touched her on the shoulder and said, shh, be quiet, you're in church. She said, I know it, brother, but I got salvation. He said, you didn't get it here. And I said, there's a lot of places you can't get it like this. Huh? So glory to God, there's a place where you can get it and everybody won't think you went off crackpot. Amen? But don't try to dodge it. Keep on moving in the power of the Holy Ghost, for God's doing a thing that's going to culminate, hallelujah, with our God ruling and reigning on the earth. Say amen. You believe that? Amen. All right. Glory to God. All right. Now I'm going to preach as quick as I can and get through. I'm not going to take long. I'll prove that tonight. Brother, do you know Bert Clendenin? Y'all know Bert Clendenin? Bert's one of my dear friends. He's down in Beaumont, Texas. You used to see him on the show. Bert, you know Bert? Great guy. Bert told a story. We were there last year in the meeting, and he said this actually happened. I think it's evangelistic speaking, Brother Bill, but he's... You know what I mean. Like the little fellow heard the preacher preach on heaven so wonderful, and afterwards he came up, he sounded so wonderful. He came up and told him, he said, "Brother, what you're saying, was that the truth, or were you just preaching?" So I'm not just preaching. Glenn said this actually happened. There's a little town out of Beaumont, Texas, where Bert's pastoring, Buna. And there's a lady that lives there, and he said she was going to a certain church, the Assemblies of God. She had a lot of the earth, of the wealth, and she didn't want to be a burden to anybody, so she was by herself, and she had a standing date with a person to pick her up every Sunday morning at 9:45 and take her to the First Assembly of God Church. And he'd get her there about 10, and she'd get in and sit in the same place, and the preacher would preach, and she said to him, the cabbie that took her there, "Now you come back and get me about 12:30, and if you get back, if we're having a good service, just sit out here, and I'll pay you more than you can make, you know, any other place. Just sit here. And I'll pay you more than if you'd have picked up other passengers. And just, I want you to be here when church is over. I don't care when it's over, but I want..." And so this guy got to preaching one day, according to Bert, and she was there, and clock went by 12, and 12:15, and 12:30, and 12:45, and 1, and the cab is still sitting outside. About 1:15, well, a person walked out the side of the door. Cabby tooted his horn, told him, says, "Come over here." Walked over where he was. He said, "Say," said, "isn't that preacher through yet?" He said, "Yeah, he's been through for an hour, but he hadn't quit yet." So I'll give you my word, when I get through, I'm going to quit. Amen. The Bible said, if you find honey, eat till you fill, not too much, lest you vomit it up. You know what that means? You keep prophesying after God quits. You quit preaching, you keep preaching. Well, I better get to preaching. You won't think I believe what I'm saying. All right. Look. Open your Bibles. Get ready to mark it. Three things I want you to see from the second chapter of Luke. Father, dear, thank you for your precious people. Thank you for the moving of your Spirit. Glory to God. Everybody say, "Lord, give me an ear to hear. Anoint mine eyes so I can see. Give me a perceiving heart. Give to me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Bless your word to my heart. Let me receive spoils from it. In Jesus' name." Everybody said amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. His name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in child Jesus, do for him after the custom of the law, then he," speaking of Simeon, "took Jesus up in his arms. And he blessed God and said, 'Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people. You sent him to light, to lighten the Gentiles.'" Hallelujah. How many has been lit up? How many he's turned the light on for you? Amen. Isn't he a wonderful God? "Sent him as a light to lighten the Gentiles, the glory of your people Israel. Joseph and his mother," look at this, "Joseph and Mary stood there and marveled at those things which were spoken of him." I want you to mark that. "And Simeon blessed him, and he said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel. Set for a sign which shall be spoken against. You just well to know that. The world don't love Jesus now no more than they did back there. Come on, say amen now. He's a stumbling stone. Amen. The Bible said to them that perish, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. But to we that are saved, it's the power of God. This style is set. He's going to be spoken against. And then he said something to Mary. You just well to get ready for it. If you're going to know it, a sword's going to pierce your own soul. And then the heart of many is going to be revealed. It's the way he reveals things. Amen. You don't walk with God, and I don't want to scare anybody off the camp meeting. This is the last night I'll be here. Come back in July. But I just want to tell everybody here, if you walk with God and really become His, you're going to know what it is to get cut. You just well know that. I say you just well know that. That's part of it. Amen. You're a battle scarred, my dear Seth. This is what Paul said over and over and over again. First chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul uses this word. He said, "Brethren, we wouldn't have you ignorant concerning the trouble that came to us when we came into Asia." Here I'm quoting the Bible. What was that trouble? I don't know, and you don't either. But he said that trouble, he said it was so terrible. He don't even mention what it was. He said we were pressed out of measure. It was above our strength. We despaired of life. We reached a place to where we thought we'd rather die than to live. But he said, "The God of all comfort comforted us. And now with the comfort wherewith we've been comforted, we can comfort anybody with any trouble they have." That's how God makes a deliverer out of you. Amen? Paul had a lot of tremendous revelations from the Word of God. But every word, real revelation he had, he got a thorn for it. You read in the 12th chapter, 2 Corinthians, "Lest I be exalted through the manifold revelations that I have." There was a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan, something that buffeted him. Huh? Everybody speculated what Paul's thorn was. You don't know what Paul's thorn was. God don't tell you what Paul's thorn don't bother me. Pemberton's thorns give me a little trouble. Amen. And Paul's thorn is not going to bother you. If God would have wanted you to know what it was, he would have told you. Amen. A lot of people don't need a thorn anyhow. The only reason he got a thorn because he had revelation. If you haven't got a real ram of revelation, you don't need a thorn. Amen. Greatest people I've ever met in the world, across this world, are people that had their soul pierced with a sword. And then the hearts of people are revealed. Three things quickly. I like what's happening here because this was a transition period in Luke 2. You can back up in the first chapter. You'll read about Zechariah and Elizabeth. You'll read about Mary. The angel appearing to Mary, telling her she's going to conceive and bring forth the Son of God. But here in the second chapter, you read about some people. It's a transition period. One was gone and another was coming. Law and all was under, Bible said the law and the prophets was under John in Luke 16:16. But since that time, the kingdom is preached and men have to press into it. I say, since that time, it's been preached. And men don't get into it, they pressed into it. But here are men in that transition period. Dispensation, and I watch that word because I'm scared of if everybody, we've got that thing pigeonholed in such a way. Now, God help us, Jesus. I'm not going to get in that because I'd blow somebody's fuse and I'm going to leave town early in the morning. But here he is, Simeon. In that time, and I believe it's kind of a parallel now. Glory to God. I believe we're going to see the most glorious thing the world's ever seen. I believe we're going to see the greatest harvest the world's ever known anything about. Amen. A long time ago, I quit singing the songs. I'm going to take the law away where the Lord despiseth you. John said, I saw a number 10,000 times, thousands times, thousands times, thousands. Please tell me how many million that is. And they were all singing the song of the Lamb. I say they're all there. So there are going to be millions and millions and billions of people that are going to shout his praise forever. Amen. George Evans said, I believe that God's going to put a dunce cap on some people for the first 2,000 years. Let them sit over in the corner and learn how to worship. Everybody wants to know how to worship now. Hallelujah to God. Here he is now. I want you to look at it. First of all, this man was living. Look at it. His name was Simeon. The Bible said, and I look at it in verse 25, underlined, there was a man, Jerusalem named Simeon, the same man, was just and devout. I want you to look at some of the characteristics of this. Verse 25, jot it down. The Holy Ghost was upon him. Verse 26, the Holy Ghost revealed something to him. Verse 27, he was motivated and brought to the temple by the Holy Ghost. That's progression. You're going to see it. Look at him. The Holy Ghost was upon him. First of all, the Bible said he was a just man. He was justified. God's always required that if you're going to walk with him. Amen. The Bible said in Michael 6 and 8, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. This man was just right. He was justified. He was walking in all the light that God had given him. He was justified, and notice it, not only was he just, he was devout. God give us some more people around church that'll be devout. I want to grow. I still believe in holiness. Amen. Come on, say amen now. I still believe in preaching and living what you preach. Amen. I still believe that follow men with all peace with all men, without holiness, without which no man's going to see the Lord. And I'm not talking about the man-made kind now. I'm talking about glory to God. Amen. It'll cause you to live just as clean, just as holy, just as right on Monday as it does on Sunday. I'm not blameless, but I dare them. I've crossed this land, gone around the world 51 years. Don't you say that I'm sinless, but I'm blameless. I say wherever I go to thousands of people, I've been accused of everything. But I bring on your skeletons. Bring them out of the closet. I'll face you with them. Hallelujah. You'll listen to a preacher that lives what he preaches. And I believe there's high time for that. Amen? He was devoted. He was devout. Everybody that's reading the Bible that God moved in, they came into that place. The second chapter of the book of Acts, and that's our chapter. That's where God poured the Holy Ghost out, you know. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one. You know the second chapter of Acts as well as I. And God poured the Spirit out. But the Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak in other tongues. Verse 5 says, and in Jerusalem there were devout men. From every nation under heaven, they were there devout, waiting, devout. When you come to the 10th chapter of Acts where Jesus Christ, or where God visits the Gentiles, you know who he used? A fellow by the name of Cornelius. He was an Italian, but the Bible says, read it yourself, he was devout. He was walking in all the light he had. He was dedicated. I don't believe sincerity saves you, but I believe sincerity will lead you into a deeper depth. I believe if you walk with God with all the light you have, he's going to give you some more light. Amen. He's that kind of a God. Bible says about Cornelius, he was devout. He gave much alms. He prayed always. You remember the story one day while he was praying, an angel appeared. And said, Cornelius, your giving has come up before God. Say amen. I like what our brother Glenn said today. You know, how many would like to know where Jesus sat when he went to church? How many would like to know? He read it today in the 12th chapter of Mark. He sat over against the treasure. Hello? I don't mean that he's grabbing for everybody's money, but he knew what they did, how they did it, and why they did it. Huh? And old Cornelius had just blessed everybody. God said he hasn't forgotten one prayer you've prayed. Every prayer you've prayed, they've come up as a memorial before God. Folks, delays are not denials. I said delays are not denials. God's promised you something like a bulldog. Amen. Glory to God. Watch it. Watch it. God said to old Abraham and Sarah, I want to give you a baby. Can you imagine a man walking around 100 years old? Say, I'm going to have a baby. I mean, my wife is, not me. Huh? But glory to God. He failed. He goofed. When Sarah suggested that he'd take Hagar. One thing about it, I got to talk to Abraham about that. I see he didn't fight that too much. And you remember they had Ishmael, but that didn't blow him out of the ballpark. God came at the appointed time and Isaac was born. How many believe in God for all your loved ones? Say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Our prayers is coming up as a memorial. I want you to praise God for it right now. Praise Him right now as a memorial. God remembers all of your prayers. He remembers your almsgiving. He remembers your devotedness. God said, I want you to send down here to place old Joppa, the fellow by the name of Simon. Peter, send him, tell him to come down here. And they went down there, three of them. And old Peter was up on the housetop waiting for the fried chicken to get done. Falling asleep, and he saw a vision. You remember the story. Saw people coming and said, I want you to go down to Cornelius' house. And God said, you go and don't you doubt. He had to do that way because Jews wouldn't go around Gentiles. And about that time, they knocked on the door and Peter said, it's me, they want me. Well, come on, let's go. Hallelujah. And old Cornelius got everybody in the community ready. The Bible said he got them all there. And when Peter came in, Cornelius had all of them. He said, about 3 days ago, I was fasting and praying. God, he said, I know it. And God told me to come here. I'm talking about Peter now. And old Cornelius said, we're all here to hear everything the Lord told you to say to us. And Peter opened his mouth. And Peter, you know, God had to take care of Peter. This is, if God hadn't bailed him out, they'd have killed him. You look at his sermon. He opens his sermon by looking at that bunch of Gentiles and said, you know, it's not lawful for a person like me to be tabernacling with you. We don't have anything to do. I'm God's man of faith and power. I'm too good to be talking to you. And the Bible said while he was yet speaking, the Holy Ghost fell on him. It's the only way in the world. They're about to get him. Amen. And the Holy Ghost fell on him and they baptized the people and bailed him out. The Holy Ghost bailed him out. We say a lot of things if God didn't take care of it. I mean, those that left said a lot of things. You know, sure. But the Bible said he was devout. Now, quickly, the 22nd chapter of Acts gives you another story. His name is Ananias. And now the Lord has knocked a guy down. It's the greatest man that ever lived, other than Jesus. Paul. He said he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was the greatest sinner, but he was the greatest. And the Lord knocked him down. You remember the story in the 9th chapter of Acts. And knocked his eyes out. And if I'd have been the Lord, I'd have gone to, you know, seminary to have gotten somebody. But he found a certain disciple. His name was Ananias. Nobody didn't know him. He had never made the headlines. Huh? Nobody knew him. God said to him, the Bible says about Ananias, he was a devout man. Huh? God said, I want you to go on a mission. Oh, good, good. Where do you want me to go? Well, I've got a fellow over here by the name of Saul, over on Straight Street. Saul, you know who he is, Lord? Aren't you glad God has us to tell him who's? That's the fellow that's given us all the trouble. That's the guy that's pulling them out of houses. That's the guy that's persecuting them. That's the guy that's out. That's the guy that's... Jesus said, go on. And when he got there, I don't know from that time to time old Ananias, God done something for him. Because when he got to that house, he says, Brother Saul. You know, folks, I want everybody to smile. It's going to surprise you who you're going to meet in heaven. Now, I love you and I love what God... But don't you get that as... pebble on the beach. Say amen now. Amen. Turn around and say amen. Amen. Look at that person and say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I say hallelujah. God's got 7,000 hasn't bowed the knee to Baal, and he's bringing them unto himself. Say amen and give the Lord a good hand. Hallelujah. He's that kind of a God. He's that kind of a God. I used to know I knew I was right. And I prayed that God get everybody else right so we could fellowship. And now don't you look there and say, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. Well, I'm hurrying. Devout. Simeon was devout. Quickly, he was devout. He was devout. Say devout.
Devout.
He was justified and devout. Hallelujah to God. Look, here's the wonderful thing. The same man, the Bible said he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. You know what I've heard in the messages this week? I've heard people talking about, how many know there's an anxiety in your heart? How many is expecting something? How many is expecting God to bring forth his sons? Amen. How many is really expecting it? Glory to God. He was on his toes, tiptoes spiritually. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for it. And the Bible said the Holy Ghost was upon him. That's the reason that kindly whips you. Amen. Folks, you read the Bible. Nothing really ever happened in the Bible except the Holy Ghost really came on some people. When you read the very first chapter, first verse of the Bible, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. The very next verse says, and it was void, or it became void, and it was darkness upon the earth. What happened? The Holy Ghost moved. The Spirit of God moved. Say, the Spirit of God moved. The Holy Ghost moved on that darkness. The Holy Ghost moved on that thing that had no form. It could be without form. It could be darkness, but the God touches it. It's different. I say it's different. Hallelujah to God. The Holy Ghost was upon him. That's why you read in the Bible, quickly. But you read in the Bible, everything in the Old Testament. People never did anything until the Holy Ghost come on them. A person said to me some time ago, I don't like to hear women preachers. I didn't say this, so don't y'all get mad at me. This woman said, I don't like to hear men preachers either. But I like the Holy Ghost preaching through women and men. Amen. Amen. Say amen. Glory to God. Amen. The Holy Ghost. You've seen pictures. How many have seen ever the picture of the strong man in the Bible, Samson? Boy, that's a great big bulging muscles. That's erroneous. The Bible doesn't picture. You know how Samson looked? He weighed about 145 pounds, looked like he had tuberculosis. Amen. The Bible doesn't say that he did what he did because he had big muscles. It says the Holy Ghost came upon him. Say it with me. The Holy Ghost came upon him. It was the Spirit of God that came upon him. I don't believe that he set traps to catch those 300 foxes. I just believe he outran them. Hallelujah to God. He caught them. How? Because the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is upon him. I'll tell you right now, it's wonderful that the Spirit of God's upon him. You know what, Mary? What happened? The angel told her what happened. And I'll show you that in a minute. The Holy Ghost was upon him. I want the Holy Ghost to abide upon us. Now, this was before the Holy Ghost even came as a rule to stay. But lest I forget to say this, if you're tearing for the Holy Ghost, quit. You know, I'm seeing people. I was down in Peru here some time ago and been there for, we got about 175 or 80 churches across Peru. Once a year, the people comes in, the pastors from all over the world, and they work here today, full services a day. Yes. But you pour it into those pastors and they go out all over Peru afterwards. Last night I was so tired. I was tired. The pastor at the end there, he still says, Brother Garland, it's been wonderful. You prophesied the word of the Lord. Just bang, bang, bang. Said, just one other thing. After you preach tonight, I got 126 wants the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, God. But I don't have any tarry services anymore. We have receiving services. When the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, if you read your Bible, honey, he came to stay. He's still here. Say, he's still here. Say, he's still here. Say, he's in the earth. He's right now. He's tarrying for you. You don't have to wait another day. He's here to empower you. Say amen. The Holy Ghost was upon him, though. And it was revealed to him. Get it now. Get it. It was revealed to him. It was revealed to him. You're not going to die till you see God's salvation. You're not going to die till you... You know where God's salvation is? It's in Jesus. Fourth chapter of Acts says there's no other name given under heaven whereby men are saved but the name of Jesus. Amen. He saw... God said, I'm going to let you see my salvation. This is what he said in the 91st Psalm. Seven things he said he'll do for anybody that puts their love upon him in the 91st Psalm. One of the things, I'll show him my salvation. Looking for salvation. But now look at it. Waiting for the consolation of the Holy Ghost is upon him. And it was revealed to him. You know, folks, hear me now. If you forget everything I said, don't forget this. The only thing you really know are the things that God speaks to you about. The only thing you really know is, now you can speculate. You can say 2 times 2 equals 4. Huh? You can use logic. But the Holy Ghost has to confirm things, and then you know that you know. That you know that you know. That you really know that you know. Hallelujah to God. Amen? You know it. It was revealed to him. And when God gives you a revelation and you keep it alive, you cannot die without seeing it. I'm talking about keeping your dedication to Jesus now. I say, I'm talking about keeping your dedication. It was revealed to him. You know, really, folks, you know this. I'm not trying to spring something new on you, but you know the only way we know Jesus is by revelation. That's the only way you know him. The Bible said in the fifth chapter, 2 Corinthians, henceforth know we no man. I'm quoting the Bible. Henceforth know we no man, not even Jesus. Though we knew him after the flesh, we know him no more after the flesh. We know him in the spirit. If you just know him as a historical person like Abraham Lincoln and someone else, that's not enough. He's alive today. Say amen. He's revealed. Jesus said, no man knows the Father but the Son, and to whomsoever the Son will reveal. Revelation, reveal, reveal. That's what Paul said to that church at Ephesus. I prayed for you. I wanted you to have a really gift. I wanted God to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This is how you know. Jeremiah 9:23 says this, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he knoweth me. I say that he knoweth me. He understandeth me, that I am a God that exercises loving kindness and mercy and judgment. I delight in these things. God delights to show mercy. I say, hey, you know this kind of God. You know him by revelation. It was revealed to him. You are not until you see God's salvation. And that kept him alive. I said, that kept him alive. If you're out here right now, and I know you see it. Think about it right now. I'm sorry what's happening in the world today, but I know God's going to get glory out of everything. I know that. I just well tell you, I'm not trying to run around being a polypath for anybody, but the lofty looks of all men are going to be brought low.
Amen?
Amen? The Bible says that in the second chapter of Isaiah, the fourth chapter of Micah. The lofty looks of all men shall be brought low, and the Lord alone in that day is going to be exalted.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We've got one king. Say his name is Jesus. Say his name is Jesus. Say his name is Jesus. Glory to his mind. I'm not casting off on any servant of God. I'm not casting off, but I'm telling you right now, this is an hour that Jesus is going to be glorified. He's going to be glorified. And I know he's the head of the church. Yes, somebody said God's looking for a man. Correct that. He's already found his man, and that's Jesus. Say amen. He's the man, Christ Jesus. Paul said to Timothy, there's one mediator between God and man. That is the, say it with me, the man, Christ Jesus. Say the man, Christ Jesus. You ought to love him. I say, you ought to love him. This is Job's problem. You think you have a problem, you ought to read the book of Job. The ninth chapter of Job, and you'll find it as frustration in Job. Said, 23rd chapter of Job, he said, I go forward and I can't find God. And I back up and I can't find God. I look over on the right where he used to work. He ain't working no more. I look over to the left. He's not there anymore. I don't see God anywhere. But then he took a long breath. He said, I can't see him, but thank God he can see me. He knoweth the way that I take. Say it, amen. He knoweth the way that I take. Say, he knoweth the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Amen. You know him. And he said in the ninth chapter of Job, if I can paraphrase to emphasize, I could quote it, but here's the paraphrasing of it. Oh, I wish I had somebody that understood that I was man. I wish I had a daysman. I wish I had somebody that was God and man. Let me know he's the God-man. He's so much God. Amen. Hallelujah. He's God, but he's man. And there's more in the Bible about the Son of Man than the Son of God. Amen. Old Job said, I wish I had somebody that could take a hold of my hand as man with one hand and take a hold of God with the other as God and bring us together. How many know Jesus today? The only way and the reason in the world you can have communication with God is because of Calvary. God's salvation. Amen? Quickly. Look at this verse. And he came by the Holy Ghost to the temple. Now, I have an imaginary mind, and I find you'll get more out of life if you do. I know what was running up and down old Simeon's backbone this Sabbath morning. The Holy Ghost said, Simeon, it's about to happen. I believe he had spiritual eyes in the back of his head that Sunday, that Sabbath morning. He went to the synagogue. And that synagogue was packed out. And there was a couple sitting back there. They had a little bundle wrapped up in a tremendous little wonderful blanket. And the Bible said they had brought him to do to him according to the law, the eighth day to circumcise him. And they had this deep secret. I'm talking about Mary and Joseph. You know that. Nobody knew the story. But God said to them, that's him. Come with me mentally. Watch Mary and Joseph walk down that aisle of that great synagogue with Jesus. And Simeon's on the front bench. He jumped up and grabbed that bundle out of his hand, pushed that blanket back, looked in his face, and began to prophesy. This is in the Baptist Bible. Amen. Methodist too. And the Bible says, here's his prophecy. This child is set. Say he's set. You know where we get the connotation? That's like set concrete. God ain't going to change his mind. This child is set for the fall and the rising again of many. And that's not some will fall, some won't fall. That means everybody, if you're going to know him, you're going to fall to your plans. You just well know that. When you rise up in his strength. Huh? He's an evil spoke against. He prophesied over him. The Bible says Joseph and Mary stood there with their mouths open and said, how in the world does he know that? Because they had buried that secret. You remember when the angel appeared to Mary when she was 15 or 16 years old? The first chapter of Luke and said, you found favor in the eyes of God. You are chosen from among women, not above women. And I'm not casting any reflection off Mary. You ought to take your hat off to her. I have a great admiration for her. And the angel said, you found grace in the eyes of God. You're going to conceive. You're going to bring forth the Son of God. We're all adults, and I'm not vulgar. The Holy Ghost is going to put a seed in you. You're going to bear the Son of God. And Mary, with frustration, said, how can this be? I'm a virgin. I don't know a man. Huh? And the angel told her, the Holy Ghost will come on you. Say, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. Say, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. The power of the Most High shall overshadow thee, which that which is born of God is holy. And Mary, with a lot of unanswered questions, with frustration running high, said, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel said, blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of the things spoken to her of the Lord. Hear me now. Thank God we shout about it now, but do you know that gave Mary a problem? Because they were already engaged to be married. She was already a spouse to Joseph. Joseph knew what he knew. And now, on the next date, Mary said to Joseph, honey, I'm with child.
You're what?
Yeah. The angel came. The Holy Ghost. And Joseph said, now, Mary, it's bad enough to fall in sin, let alone to blame it on an angel. Huh? You say he didn't say that. He did say that. You read between the lines. He, being a just man, put her away and didn't tell anybody. Huh? I say he didn't tell anybody. He didn't believe her story. He didn't believe the Holy Ghost came to her. He didn't, but the Bible said he was a just man and he put her away privately. And then he went to sleep and the Lord appeared to him
and said, "You don't have to worry about that, Joseph. That's really of me." And they performed the ceremony, and he didn't touch her as man and wife until Joseph or Jesus was born. And then they had at least 3 more boys and 2 more girls dividing their names in the Bible. Huh? But what I'm trying to say is, marvelous, wonderful, he came to that temple by the Holy Ghost. Do you know it makes a lot of difference what attitude you come to church in? Say amen now. Do you know you can absolutely be looking at a miracle, honey, and not recognize it? Huh? The Bible said, as sure as I live, a knowledge of my glory is going to fill the earth like the waters cover the sea. But God has to let you... You find that in the Bible. You find a man that God... We've already heard a message this week on Gideon. You go there in the book of Judges and read about it. God called him as a mighty man of valor. He was down there, and he was from a poor family, and he was the poorest of the poor. In fact, they had made a little barley, had a little wheat, and he's out back behind the barn by light, beating it out, scared to death of the Midianites. And the angel appeared to him. "Hail, thou mighty man of valor." Gideon looked around to see who he was talking to. He said, "You're it. You're it." And then he told Gideon what he was going to do. "I am going to do something, Gideon. I'm going to move in the earth, and I've chosen you. You're chosen." Gideon said, "Say that again." "I'm chosen." He said, "Well, if I'm chosen, I want to know why all this happened to me." You ever have that? And the next thing he said, "If I'm chosen, I want to see a miracle." He was talking to an angel. He said, "I'd like to see a miracle." He's eyeballing an angel. I say he's conversing with an angel. And he said, "If I could just see a miracle. If I could just see a miracle, everything would be all right." No, it wouldn't. If God didn't touch you, you wouldn't recognize it anyhow. Say amen now. Amen. We're seeing God moving. It's how you come to the house of God. I believe God's going to do so much in this hour. You're going to be scared to stay home from church before you miss something. Say amen. Go give the Lord a good hand. Go ahead. I believe with all my heart. Hallelujah to God. Here he is. I quickly get to it now. And after old Simeon finished prophesying over Jesus, he handed that little bundle back to Mary and Joseph. And he said, "Mary, a sword's going to pierce your soul. And then the heart of people is going to reveal." Now, I'm through when I say this. I'm not mad at anybody in the world. I've flat worked on it, Brother Glenn. I love God's people, but I've had more opportunity to have more problems with the brethren than I have the world. You just well know that. You just well know that. You got a minute? Please give me 2 more minutes. Say, "Take it."
Take it.
Say, "We want you to."
We want
you. Now forgive those that told a lie. No. But I never heard anybody in my life prophesy over until I saw a prophecy service in 1944. I was in Orange, Texas. I was really young and full of vim and value. I was near as skinny as you are then. I just gotten through building churches. Had 4 churches under construction at one time. Now, you don't have to be nuts to do that, but it explains it. Amen. And I don't mean I was wanting a place to preach. I had more place. I had 7 churches under my jurisdiction, preaching a different church every night, preaching 5 times on Sunday. I wasn't because... But I'm going to tell you, folks, hear me. My sweet wife is sitting back here, and she'll say amen to this. I was seeing people in the altar every Sunday night getting saved. It's the truth. I was on the radio 2 every day in the world. I could have been on 3 times if I wanted to. We had the largest congregation in Orange, Texas, with the exception, I'm not just counting noses now, with the exception of the First Baptist Church. I wasn't looking for another place. But all of that going, the word of the Lord was coming. I'd get through on Sunday night, and I'd cry all the way home. I fasted and prayed until I went down to 132 pounds. And the farther more I prayed, fasted seemed farther from God. You say, "That's condemnation." I don't know, honey, but it happened. I had a hunger in my heart that words didn't express. I'd tell, "Honey, she backed me up. Honey, if God don't meet me, I knew I'm going to quit." And she'd say, "What's the matter, God? There were 20 people in the altar tonight. We had a church with 750 in the congregation. We filled it up.
Sunday night after Sunday night, it took three hillbilly bands to do it, but we did it. But there was a hunger. How many wants to have God to give a hunger to you? Glory to God. Say, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. There's some around this camp meeting. Glory to God. It's a goal for you to shoot at. Glory to God. Blessings of the Lord don't come cheap. You move in if you're going to do it. That if I by any means might attain. And I sought God diligently. I thought I'd been taught that preaching was prophesying. I never heard anybody prophesy. First time I ever heard, I was laying on my stomach and 2 o'clock in the morning waiting before God. I felt something moving and I got up and walked the halls of that house of mine and went to prophesying. Brother Bill, glory to God, I thought I'd lost it, but it felt good. And I began to prophesy out of my own mouth. God said, there will not be a country in the world where what thy feet will not stand on it. And you'll be a witness for what I'm going to do in the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then we went next. Or about, I'd blessed in God Almighty. We, matter of about, I guess, 8 months, someone said, the Houghton brothers, the different ones, are over in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and then having a service. And I said, honey, let's go over there. I used to go pastor that church. We went there that night, and you couldn't get in. No advertising in the paper. I'm not exaggerating. God hears me right now. If I'm lying, I'm lying to the Holy Ghost. Couldn't get in the doors. But having the ushers come and brought us around, and those people didn't know me. And they pushed us in and got 2 chairs and pushed it way back there, way back in the corner. And the place was packed and jammed to the front. The people that was running it stood up, turned around to the 4 that was in the press, but said, those 2 people that just came in back there, come on down here, we want to pray for you. And they said, you scared the life out of me. I turned to honey, started walking down that aisle, and I got there, and they pulled 2 chairs out and said, kneel here. And a woman that I'd never seen before, she's with the Lord tonight, she's Sister D. She had a great time. She ran over everything. I looked up. I'm not exaggerating. It looked like fire was jumping out of her eyes, 14 inches. She's coming right to me. And the thing she said, when I see thee sheltered, purchased, and protected by the blood. That's the last thing I remembered. I thank God they recorded it. I went out like a light. Amen. She said, Joseph, Joseph, Joseph. Joseph from thy birth, Joseph from thy, Joseph, you will bless the brethren. I just will tell you, I was a young preacher. God had already given me some dreams. I knew that story of Joseph. I knew the brethren come. I could just see the brethren coming to me. I could see them bowing at my feet. I didn't consider how he got there. All he did was get out there in the field with 11 envious brethren and tell them a dream. And everybody, the Bible said they hated him from that time on. Huh? The Bible said they could not answer him peaceably. I told you last night all the churches would they had built because my wife cut a little hair off. I wish you ladies, well, I'm not saying that. We were put out of the church. I had no place to go. I'm in the churches that I'd built and paid for. Religion's cruel, folks. I wouldn't be telling you this, but all those brethren I've gone back and preached for them. Hallelujah to God. Give the Lord a good hand. Hallelujah. Give him a good hand. It's that way. It's that way. Now, I'm through. I mean it. That's my Bible. I know you don't care about this, but it sure helps me. Just think. The churches I had built, paid for, I'm not talking about small churches. Everybody that was preaching in that pulpit had been saved when I was preaching. They were my kids. They were pastoring it. Denomination that I was in said, if you talk to Garland Pemberton, we're going to take your license away from you. They wouldn't even talk to me. I begged them. I squalled. I fussed. I did everything. Huh? One day, I was down. I know you never did this. I wasn't praying. I wish I could tell you I was down praying in the Holy Ghost. I'd already quit praying. I'd pray it out. I'd cry it out. And I was having a pity party.
I was saying to God, I wouldn't do you like you have done me if I was you and you were me. I think this is bad. It's dirty. I mean that. I don't like this. And the Lord said to me, I told you from your mother's womb you was a prophet. And you rejoiced in it because they prophesied that. You wanted me to make you a prophet. I said, amen. He said, blessed are you when men shall separate you from their company. When they shall cast your name out as evil. When they shall say all manner of things against you evil. Falsely. Say falsely. He said that day, leap. Be exceedingly glad. For that's what they do to the prophets. But woe be unto you when all men speak. For so did they to the false prophets. So he said, leap for joy. I was like the old boy down in way down in Alabama. He said he was leaping. He leaping for joy. He didn't have any. He was leaping for some. I got up, hallelujah, and started leaping, glorifying God. It wasn't many days after that that I met a person, walked through my life that I never knew. God told the person, I want you to help that man, and launched me. And I've gone back to the churches where I've talked about tonight. And I preach the meetings. In fact, I have a special invitation to go to in August to their annual camp meeting. Hallelujah. But God meant it for good. Mary, a sword's going to go through you. And then people's hearts are revealed. You know my cry for what people are calling the great ministry that are falling today? My cry is for mercy. Say mercy.
Mercy.
Say mercy. Mercy. I want them to do it, but hear me. And I know these. I'm not a name dropper. I don't want to be. But I know these fellows that follow very personally. I mean, I don't know more person than you. But we're all flesh. And we need to know. We need one another.
Amen.
We must have one another. I want you to stand. And I want you to just move across the aisle right now. I want you to take hands one with the other. Glory to God. I want you first join hands, everybody. I want everybody in this room, for every camp meeting we've had right here on the grounds up till now, first one thing, I want you to raise your hand and thank God for every camp meeting God's put on right here, right now. Go on, everything, we give Him the glory. We give God the glory, every bit of it. It belongs to you, dear Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for the vision. Thank you for the dream you gave Brother and Sister Miller. Thank you for every soul that's been touched, every ministry that's been confirmed, every person that's come and gone in the name of Jesus. Father, I praise you for it. Let's praise Him for this meeting. I thank you, Father. 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 Glory to God. I thank you, Father. Praise you, dear wonderful Jesus. Praise you, dear wonderful Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Will you pray for the body of Christ over the land? Will you just lift your voice and let's pray, Father, for the body. Oh, we've heard it this week. You've jogged our memory. You've stirred my spirit. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, we're begging for the body. We're begging for the body. Glory to God. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Say, Jesus is Lord. Say, Jesus is Lord. Say, Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, I could prophesy this. I want you to keep praising the Lord. But the 40th chapter of Isaiah, God said the mountains are going to come down. God said the valleys are going to be exalted. God said the crooked places He's going to straighten out.
God said the rough places he's going to smooth out. He said all flesh is going to see the glory of God together. Ask him for an anointed eye now. Just ask him for an anointed eye. I want to see your glory, Lord. I want to see your glory. 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 Lord God, I feel I'll die if we don't see your glory in a greater measure. We're not minimizing what's happened. Oh, oh God. If this is selfish, and this is my last words, Mother, I know you're tired, but may the Lord strengthen you. I'm going to ask if it's selfish. Will you please pray for my wife and I? Will you do that? Will you let us be on your prayer list here at the camp? I ask that more sincerely than words can say it. I know we're kind of in the twilight, so to speak. You know, that word just brought really inspiration to me, Sister Willie. The Lord told me today when I was waiting before God, he said, for you to get ready, there's a new day breaking in your life. I want you to hear me, and I want you to believe a prophet. The day before you is not even like the days. It's just immediately gone past. It's like the sun comes up, and I see a new lease on life, and I see a new chapter in your life. Everybody say praise the Lord. I see a new chapter in your life. God is going to thrill you, and you think you have had joy. God's got greater joy for you in the immediate future, and I want you to praise the Lord, everybody. The Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me know about it, honey. Let me know about it. Hallelujah. Oh, let's thank God for her. Go ahead. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is putting things together. Hallelujah. He's putting things together for you, hon. I didn't mean to do that, but what I'm trying to say is I have a burden for churches across this country. I haven't asked it, but it seems like something. I guess it's because we've kind of officiated in a non-denominational way, and God's in it. The doors are so wide open over this country. It's absolutely unbelievable. It's just the biggest Presbyterian church in North Carolina. I'll be there Friday night, Saturday night, and all day Sunday. You know what I'm going to for? To confirm about 150 that he's got full of the Holy Ghost and taught them in the kingdom of God. Everybody say, praise the Lord. It's happening all over the world. It's happening all over. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But I want you to turn and say to Jesus, give me compassion for my sister, for my brother. Pray for one another. Just turn around and just, amen, take somebody by the hand. Husband, love your wife, and wife, love your husband. Turn around and just take somebody by the hand and say, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I bless you, my daughter. I pray that God's bless will be your hand. I pray that God's bless will be upon your life. I pray that God's bless will be upon your life.
Well, we'll have service again in the morning. We'll have lunch after the service. Then we'll say goodbye then to all of you that have to go. Prayer meeting at 6 o'clock. And we'll be prayer warriors here or wherever you go. Don't forget to be a prayer warrior. Amen. Bless the Lord. Get a good night's rest and rise and shine in the morning.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.